sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
You know, the scripture tells us in Luke chapter 15, and we're going to read from there in just a moment, but it tells us of a man who had two sons. In fact, let's just go right to that verse right now. Luke 15, chapter 11. He also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of your estate I have coming to me. So he, speaking of the father, distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his estate in foolish living. And after he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. You know, I've thought of this story many times. I've preached on it, I don't know how many times in the last 50-some years. And it's still true today, what this has to say. Because a lot of people, if you stop to think about it, there's a lot of people that this story fits, even today. Father, give me my share that I have coming to me. And I sometimes think about that. You know, if he'd have waited, his share might have been bigger, might have been less. I don't know. But I want it now. And I think the generation is speaking about there describes somewhat many of the generation that we are living in today. Of it's me. What do I have coming to me? What's mine? I want what's mine now. And then many times, if we get it, we do exactly like this young man did. We squander it in foolish living. And then, like him, we're left with nothing. Nothing. And then it says, to top that off, a famine came. You know, in any country in the world, there are times of hardship. Some of you that are listening to me today might be living in a country where it's a time of hardship. Maybe your government's done some things that haven't been right. Maybe the economy's turned sour. Who knows? Maybe there's been natural disaster, but famine of some sort has struck the country, and he has nothing. He has no place to turn. And I kind of imagine, as I've preached on the prodigal son over the years, that he had friends when he had money. And that's true today. If you've got money, you've got all kinds of friends. But when you've got nothing, well, you'll find out who your true friends are. And apparently, he didn't have any true friends, because it says he had nothing. And it says then he had to go out and basically had to go out and look for a job. Because it said he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him in the field to feed his pigs. And you know, back in the days of Jesus, for a Jewish man or woman, boy or girl, that would have been the most disgusting thing probably they could think of having to do, because they wanted nothing to do with pigs. And it goes on in verse 16 to say, He longed to eat his fill from the carob pods the pigs were eating, but no one would give him any. No one would even give him any food. You know, today, at least here in America, and I'm sure in some other countries, we have places set up where people that are hungry can go and get a meal. And I know many years ago, back even before my time in what they called the Great Depression here in the United States, they set up places where people who were hungry could go and get at least something to eat. It may not have been what they desired. It may not have been the meal that they dreamed of. But it was something that would give them some nutrition. It was something that would at least maybe fill part of that empty spot in their belly. But no one would give him anything. And it says, when he came to his senses. And sometimes we need to wake up and come to our senses. Wake up and see what is staring us in the face. And I think what he's seeing staring him in the face right now is summed up in these next few words here. How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food, and here I am dying of hunger. You know, there's a spiritual application to that today as well, because many people, they may have all the physical food that their body could possibly desire, more than enough. In fact, some countries, even here in America, we have a problem with obesity, where people just eat too much. But sometimes, even though we may have all the physical food that our body can desire, we are dying of spiritual hunger because we are lacking it. Sometimes, in some places, it's because it's not available. But in other places, there's an abundance of spiritual food, and yet we don't partake of it. Here I am, dying of hunger. Verse 18, I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Sometimes we've got to humble ourselves of who we think we are and realize we have been wrong. We have sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands. Because he's thinking here, man, if I could just go back to work for my dad, I'd at least have enough to eat. I'd have a clean, warm bed to sleep in. I'd have clean clothes. I'd have all of these things. And right now, here I am. I'm stuck in a filthy, dirty, stinky pig pen. And there may be some who are possibly listening to me today that have no idea what a pig pen might be like. But they're stinky. They're smelly. They're muddy, they're filthy. And what pigs have to eat is the garbage that a lot of people throw out. I sure wouldn't want to have to eat it. He says, I got my choice. I can stay in the pig pen or I can go back and do that. Because at least I'll have something. I won't be sleeping out under the stars in this muddy pig pen. I'll have food for my belly. I'll have clothes to put on my back. From verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. Dad had been looking for son to come home. His hope, his dream, his prayer was, if only my son would come home. If only he would come back. And you know, our Heavenly Father's probably somewhat the same way. He's looking down at us, and for those that have never come home, He's saying, if only my child would come home. And he goes on and he says, but while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. Can you imagine the scene? And maybe you can think about some time when you've seen a family member or a good friend that you haven't seen in a long time, and you see them coming, and you run up and you grab them and you hug them and you may kiss them on the cheek, and you say, oh, it's so good to see you. And you're just filled with such joy. And I kind of imagine this is how the dad in this story was feeling as his long prodigal son had come back. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Bring this boy out some clean clothes here. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fatted calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast. Because he's probably looking and he says, man, this boy's gotten skinny. Let's have a celebration. Let's fatten him back up. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. Now, in the Hebrew language, there's what's known as the Tetragrammaton, Yud, He, Vav, He. In older English, it's YHVH. In more modern English, they write it as YHWH. But it's considered to be the unspeakable name of God. And from it, we get our word Jehovah. This word basically translates, I am. Like when Moses at the burning bush asked, who should he say sent him? In Exodus chapter 3:14, we read, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So God is telling us his name is I am. I want to think about that today as a father. My father's name was Lee, but I didn't call him Lee. I called him Dad. I called him Father because I was his child. We had a relationship. Everyone else called him Lee, but I called him Father. And just as the prodigal son returned home and restored into relationship with his father, when we confess that we are a sinner, or you might say we confess that we're a prodigal, and we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we're restored into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we can now call him Father. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew, when Jesus was asked about prayer, he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father. He didn't say, pray, I am, which art in heaven, but our Father. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. And when we as sinners, when we as prodigals, we give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, we now have the right to call God, Jehovah, I am. We have the right to call him Father, our Father. Several years ago in a church I was attending, we had a discussion about the name of God, how you should refer to God. Should we refer to him as Adonai? Should we refer to him as Jehovah? Should you return to him as Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh? What should it be? But the Bible tells me that if I'm a child of God, I am to call him Father. And when I pray to my Father. I'm talking to my Heavenly Father. I'm talking to the one who created me. I'm talking to the Creator of the universe. I'm talking to one I have a personal relationship with. Because I am a child of God. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "Look at how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children, and we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him." And I'm going to take just a moment there. People, Christians out there, the world hates you. The world doesn't love you. The world doesn't care about you. But God loves you. And those who are not Christians out there, I want you to know as well, the world really doesn't love you. The world really doesn't care about you. But God loves you. And he's made an opportunity, he's made available the opportunity for you to become his child and have the right to call him Father. Verse 2 goes on and says, "Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we see him as he is." Think about it. Oh, we have an exciting future as children of God. It's great to think about. For some of us, that future's a little more distant than for others, but it's exciting. I want you to think about it just a moment. We as Christians are a part of the Creator of all things, family. We are a part of God's family. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God, I am, created the heaven and the earth." But as a Christian, you could actually read that verse, "In the beginning, Father created the heaven and the earth." Ooh, didn't that just give you goosebumps when you read it that way? "In the beginning, Father created the heaven and the earth." And I know that there are some, and it's true, no matter where you're at, what country you're in, there's those that say, "I've lived a good life. I've been a good person." And I knew a man many years ago who used to tell me the good things he had done. He says, "I go out, I work at the missions in Skid Row, and I help feed the poor and the hungry. I do this and I do that." And he did many good things. But doing good things will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. Obeying all of the law will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 21, "Then a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good master, what ought I to do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, even God. Thou knowest the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things have I kept from my youth. And if you go on and read the rest of the scripture, Jesus told him, said, then go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And it says he went away very sorrowful because he was very rich. Couldn't do that. Well, he's not asking us to sell all that we have and give it to the poor, although he may ask us to do some things. But the thing that we are asked today is simply give ourselves, give our heart, give our life to Jesus Christ. We are to accept him as our personal Savior. So saying, I've been good all my life. I've obeyed all the laws. And you know, quite honestly, I find it hard to believe that anybody in these days has obeyed all the laws, and they have never done anything wrong. We all do at times. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and I don't care how perfect a life you have lived, how hard you have strove to keep all the law, that's not good enough. Because you were born in sin, and the Bible tells us that we were born in sin. The sin that happened when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden transferred down throughout history to those that are living today and to those that will come after us. Living in sin, falling short of the glory of God. So there's only one solution, and that's through Jesus Christ. The question today is, really, what do you want it to be? So what do you want? Do you want to be one that's still out feeding the pigs? Still living in the pig pen? Still living in the disgust of the filth of the world? Or do you want to be one that's enjoying the blessings of being a Christian? And I want to take a moment right there and say, just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that everything is going to suddenly turn into a bed of roses. Money is going to be in abundance. Your banquet table is going to overflow. That's not necessarily true. And I know there are people out there preaching today that if you do this or you do that, all of these blessings are going to fall upon you. And some people buy into that and then it doesn't happen and they turn their back on God because it didn't happen. But you have an abundance that's waiting for you when you get home. You see, the problem, even as Christians today, is we're not home yet. Did you hear me? We are not home yet. The prodigal son, when he woke up to his senses there in the pig pen and said, if I go back to my father's house, I'll have all these blessings. If I go back and confess I'm not worthy, that I have sinned. Even as a servant, I will have a much better life. I'll have a place to live. I'll have food for my belly. And when we wake up, realize that we're a sinner, and we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that starts the trip home. And there may be some things out there in the world that try to take you back down, that try to hang on to you, that try to do this or that. But we're on our way home. And as long as we're striving to get home, as long as we're striving to live for God, our Heavenly Father, as we're striving to do what He wants us to do, We may still have some trials and tribulations in this life, but we're not home yet. But one of these days, we're going to be home. So which do you want it to be? Do you want to be one that's still out there feeding the pigs? Or do you want to be one that can call God Father? You see, the choice is yours. God's not going to come down and hit you up on the side of the head with a big stick and say, get up out of that pig pen and come to me. It ain't going to happen that way. We've got to make that decision. He's not going to drag you kicking and screaming into a place of repentance. The decision has to be yours. So which will it be? Continuing to feed the pigs? No future. No future. Or one that can say, when referring to God, Father. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's simply, Father, I come to you. Go ahead, address him as Father. That's what the prodigal son did. Father, I come to you. I confess my sin. I have sinned against you. I want to come home. I want to be part of your family once again. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I accept him into my heart and into my life today. And if you'll do that in all sincerity of heart, you will be saved. And you can now call God Father.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didascalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.